Welcome back to Moms Unbothered, the show where we ditch the toxins, trust our instincts, embrace the healthy lifestyle, and don't care who it bothers. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Kate.
And today we have on Dr. Jeffrey Barkey. He's a seasoned board-certified family medicine physician with over 30 years of experience based in Orange County, California. In addition to running his private concierge-style practice, he integrates holistic and allopathic treatment, offering personalized care plans and telehealth services, including professional-grade supplements to empower patient wellness. In this episode, Dr. Barkey teaches all about informed consent, his eye-opening realization that everything he was taught in medical school was a lie, and so much more. Before we get into this, if you love conversations that challenge the status quo and help you level up your health, take 2 seconds to hit that like button. Subscribe if you're watching on YouTube or leave a quick review if you're a podcast listener. It helps more moms like you find this podcast. And let's be real, the more of us out there, the less we have to explain why we don't let our kids eat McDonald's.
We are so excited to have Dr. Jeff here with us today. Jeff, can you give us a little background about who you are, what your practice is, and what you specialize in?
Ladies, great to be with you. Thanks for having me on your show. I am honored to be here. I come from Newport Beach in Southern California. I've been practicing primary care for about 30 years. You can find me, if you're interested, website rx4liberty, F-O-R Liberty. Same handle for my Instagram, rx4liberty, where I post a morning message most mornings, including on Friday, where I do an informed consent Friday. And that is, I usually read a package insert for a vaccine or a drug to educate people how to master their own health. I'm all about informed consent. And that starts with learning, reading labels, and learning how to take care of yourself so you're not reliant on physicians and certainly not the government. I'm a traditional trained doctor, MD, went to medical school at the University of California, Irvine, where I learned mostly all the things that I needed to forget. Most of what I learned in medical school is BS, and I've had to reteach myself the things that I now practice. That is, how to get people off, not on medication, how to treat cardiovascular disease, not by lowering cholesterol with statins, but by taking care of their inflammation and metabolic dysfunction, how to treat cancer and how to detox people's lives, and how to use whole food nutrition to help people get better, including supplements. So most of what I've learned in medical school, I've had to relearn, and I try to practice a very different type of medicine now to teach people how to take care of themselves so they don't need traditional medical care. We've never seen such chronic illness than we have seen in the adult and childhood population now in the history of our country. And in part, it's because of the healthcare agencies that have led us down a road where simply we have done things that are not healthy. We've been taught things that are not true. We have been told to eat things that do not make us healthier, but make us sicker. And I hope things are changing around, and I'm trying to be part of that movement.
Wow, that is beautiful. What got you on this road? I mean, you were classically trained doctor. So what was your like eye-opening moment that you were like, I need to relearn everything I've been taught?
There are several things. There are several seeds that were planted. One was Bobby Kennedy Jr. This is even before COVID. I was invited out to a talk at a church by a pastor who's become a friend of mine. The church is out in Murrieta, California, about an hour inland from where I live. I'd heard about Bobby Kennedy. I thought he was a crazy anti-vaxxer and a weird dude, but he was a Kennedy, and the pastor encouraged me to come out just to see. Had an opportunity to spend a few minutes with him one-on-one time in the green room before he gave his presentation. I had a name tag on. He looked down. He said, Dr. Barkey, so tell me why you're here. He's tall. He's probably like 6'2 or so. Looking up to him, and I said, well, Mr. Kennedy, and by the way, regardless of whether you agree or disagree with his perspective on vaccines and other things, he's a historical figure. He's a Kennedy. His father, who was Robert F. Kennedy, was assassinated. His uncle, JFK, who was our president, was assassinated. This guy's a historical figure. So it was just kind of a little starstruck to be standing face to face with him. And I said, well, Mr. Kennedy, I'm here to understand, are you a crazy anti-vaxxer or is there more to your message? I almost literally said that to him. He said, well, Dr. Barkey, I hope after hearing me speak, you'll agree with what I agree, you'll agree with what I'm saying. and that I will educate you a little bit about things that maybe you don't know. Sure enough, about halfway through his talk, my eyes welled up with tears because I was feeling great regret that I had fully vaccinated my two adult children, not knowing what I knew. I didn't know that the vaccine manufacturers were immune from liability. I didn't know that not a single childhood vaccine on the current schedule was ever actually tested against an inert placebo in a randomized controlled trial. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that the aluminum and formaldehyde and mercury that are in these vaccines are toxins to our body, et cetera, et cetera. That really started me on an awakening to start actually reading package inserts. I don't think I'd ever read a package insert. And I don't know if you've ever looked at one. They're very difficult to read, first of all. They're an 8-point font, so you can't even see them. They're written very scientific-y. So unless you have a science background, you can't read them. And even with my science background, I couldn't read them. I had to have a dictionary out and looked up terms of what they were using over and over and over again. I read package inserts until I finally understood them and got good at them and learned the cadence of how they're written. Same thing with food labels. I didn't know what citric acid was. I thought it came from citric fruits and made the food taste tangy. I didn't realize that the majority of citric acid that you see on food labels actually come from black mold and GMO grown sources. I didn't know that. So you have to educate yourself and read and look up and ask questions, follow people that are smarter than you. And that's what I did. During the beginnings of COVID, I hired a nurse who was recently fired from Kaiser after a 17-year career. She refused to get the COVID vaccine. She refused to allow herself to be tested. And as a result, she was fired. Kaiser's loss, my luck. She came into my practice and she questioned everything I did. When I'd go in for a well child check to get them updated on a vaccine, she asked, "Hey, Barky, have you ever read the package insert on this MMR vaccine that you're about to give a 12-month-old? I said, "No." So she would pull it out and put it on my desk and ask me to read it. And this over and over again really just made me start thinking. And that was thank you to Stephanie, who was the medical assistant who came to work for me for about a year and really forced me to reevaluate almost everything I did. Somebody would come in with a sore throat and a cold and they wanted to be put on an antibiotic. And I would go to write a prescription for an antibiotic. And she would ask, "Why are you doing that? You know, there are holistic, natural ways to help a person heal. And did you know that this antibiotic destroys the gut bacteria or the fluoroquinolones? Were you aware of the side effects and the black box warning that are on these antibiotics?" I'm like, "No." "Well, read the package insert and let me show you a way that you can help these patients without putting them on a chemical." So that really changed the way I practice medicine. Along the same time, my daughter, who is in the social media world, who lives in Wisconsin, said, "Hey, Pop, you should start an Instagram site." I'm like, "Awesome. What's Instagram?" And so she created an Instagram site, gave me the name RX for Liberty, and 250,000 followers. And several years later, I'm not wanting to be anything special. I just want to educate people. And now, thank God, I've got this platform where I can, I think, make a difference in teaching people how to master their own health. And somewhere along the way, all of a sudden, rando people named Kate and Jordan reach out and say, "We'd like to have you on our podcast." So if not for that experience with Bobby Kennedy, with Stephanie, with my daughter creating an Instagram site, I would never be on your podcast because you wouldn't know who I am. I'd be some rando doctor in California pushing vaccines and drugs on my patients.
That is incredible. I have so many questions for you, but first I want to applaud you for having an open mind, because I feel like 3/4 of the battle with doctors, at least that I see, is you're taught one thing and it's very hard to unlearn, relearn new information. And, you know, come because you guys spent a lot of money in medical school being taught the absolute complete opposite of what you now stand for. So that is amazing. And I feel like you are just helping so many people wake up.
By the way, Kate, I know this is a podcast and, you know, we're seeing each other, on a platform that allows us to communicate. I don't know if you record the video, but you're wearing an Aloe hat, which is one of my favorite brands. And part of what I do is look at toxic exposures, especially with women. And there's a very popular brand of yoga clothes out there. I won't give the name. I don't want to disparage anybody, but they use toxic materials that are very close to your body. And so I have learned that what we put on our body, what we spray under our arms, the colognes we use, the lotions we use, the products we use, the tight clothing that some people do yoga in can significantly affect them in the form of endocrine disruptors. Well, it turns out the product line called Aloe, which is the hat you're wearing, the owners are a friend of mine, and they are non-tox. They don't use the same chemicals that are in the other branded name that many people use.
Wow.
They purposely try to be a healthier alternative without using made in China endocrine disrupting synthetic products that are woven into their fabric of the clothes.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah. So now you should reach out to Aloe and they should sponsor your podcast.
Yeah. Can you give me a little, plug in?
Can say, you know, them, you reach out for us.
Yeah. I'm a big, big Aloe fan over here.
Oh, there
but
you go.
Yeah. That yeah. is amazing. So is it hard to be in California? Because there's not that many states that mandate vaccines, but California yep. is one of them. So how are you helping families navigate?
Yeah, it is hard. I think that'll change, but it's not going to change right away. And it likely will take a Supreme Court ruling. There are several lawsuits going on right now to try to bring back personal and religious exemptions in California. I think there's only two states, including California, that do not allow for religious or personal exemptions. So how do I help them? Well, there is a loophole in California, and it's homeschooling. So parents that homeschool do not have to vaccinate their children. The other loophole is called U-Haul. And there are a lot of parents that are moving out of California to states that don't require vaccinations. And you know all the usual states, whether it's Montana, Idaho, Oklahoma, Texas, Florida, and others, Tennessee, that allow personal exemptions, don't have ridiculously high state income tax, 13.5% at the highest level here in California. Fortunately, where I physically live, and that is in Corona Del Mar, which is part of Newport Beach, coastal Orange County, it's a very, very red county in California. And so we're isolated a little bit, a lot of like-minded people, but the fight continues and will continue to allow personal exemptions, even in California. I'm hoping that Congress will pass a law that will make it illegal to mandate any vaccine under any conditions, including the military. I think if these vaccines are so safe and effective, the vaccine company should make the case and let adults make their choice. Under no circumstances, in my opinion, should any vaccine under any circumstance, including the military, be mandated. I don't think that's right.
Yeah, we agree with you. And that's why you're here, to help spread the word. In the beginning, you mentioned how you had guilt surrounding your decisions to vaccinate your children. And I know a lot of moms listening to this are probably feeling that guilt too. They're just like, oh, I didn't know better. Or like, now I know, but it's too late for them. Is there anything they can be doing to help their young babies and young children to maybe detox or like support their bodies moving forward?
Sure. I had guilt because I just didn't know better. Fortunately, both my kids are reasonably healthy. They don't have any chronic illnesses. My daughter, which you all should follow if you're listening, Allie's Fashion Allie, Allie, A-L-L-I-E, Fashion Allie. She's hardcore crunchy. She's a member of a bunch of crunchy mom groups out in Wisconsin, breastfed, made her own formula, makes her own cat food. They've got about a dozen chickens, et cetera. So super proud of her. I would like to think that I've influenced her somewhat. Yeah, for sure. The first rule of holes, when you're in one, stop digging. So most importantly, don't put any more poison in your baby. Make sure that their detox pathways are open and working. We have four natural ways that we detox our bodies. We poop, we pee, we sweat, we breathe. So make sure those are wide open. Make sure you're feeding your kids now, you know, whatever it is that you feed them is organic, holistic, without preservatives, no toxic ingredients, no food dyes, no artificial colors, no artificial flavors. You know, get crunchy along with the rest of us. And I think that's the best path forward to ensure that your kids are healthy.
What about the parents who, because I have so many moms DM me and they're like, I don't want to vaccinate. I just, in my heart, I feel like it's not okay, but I'm so scared of these diseases. What can you tell these moms to give them some peace of mind?
These childhood diseases like chickenpox and measles have been around since the beginning of time. When I was a little kid, I had chickenpox, the actual illness, because my mom dragged my brother and I down the street to the kid that had chickenpox so we could get the disease, get it over with, and get back to school. A handful of years ago, I joined the Army Reserve as a part of the medical corps, and they wanted me to get all kinds of vaccines. And I said, oh, hell no, I'm not getting any vaccines. I did draw my blood and look for titers. And this is some 50 years later, I still have chickenpox titers. These are benign illnesses, chickenpox and measles, if you're a healthy kid. So you shouldn't fear these things. You need to, like anything in life, you need to weigh what are the benefits and what are the risks. You have in Southern California a higher risk of getting killed on the freeway, the 405 freeway, during rush hour traffic than you do getting killed by an infectious disease. Life is not risk-free, and vaccines don't make it risk-free. There are risks associated with it. I'm not saying don't vaccinate your kid. You should make that decision on your own with informed consent. You should start by reading the package insert or follow me on my Instagram, RX for Liberty, where every Friday I read a new package insert. Children's Health Defense, that's Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s company, not no longer because he's the head of HHS, but that was his company. Lots of information about the history of vaccines and the various diseases. So just educate yourself. Turn off the TV. Don't let the media fearmonger you that there's a handful of cases of measles going around. Therefore, you should get the measles vaccine. By the way, there is no measles vaccine. It only comes in combination measles, mumps, and rubella. It's a live virus. The rubella component was grown in aborted fetal cells. So regardless of how you feel, pro-life, pro-choice, I don't care. I just want you to be educated so you can make an informed decision. There is aluminum, there's formaldehyde, there's polysorbate 80. These are chemicals that aren't healthy. Every childhood vaccine package insert has a section 13.1. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking of getting a tattoo that says section 13.1. It's my favorite section. And it says, and I'm paraphrasing, this vaccine has not been tested to see if it causes cancer or interferes with reproductive health. Every childhood vaccine has that section, but they want to put these vaccines into our young children, even though we don't know if they can contribute to cancer or interfere with reproductive health. I'm not saying, therefore, you shouldn't get a vaccine, but what I am saying is, therefore, you should be informed so you can make a decision, not just be convinced and fear-mongered by your pediatrician or the news media or your local pharmacy that you must do this or you're a terrible parent. There are plenty of parents out there that are choosing to not vaccinate their kids. And I think net, they have healthier kids with lower risk of autism and chronic illness.
Why do you think we're lacking informed consent? Is it money? Is money the driving factor here?
Yeah, our medical institutions, the FDA, the CDC, are 50% of their funding comes from pharma and from vaccine companies. So, of course, they are influenced by that. We're the only country in New Zealand that allows direct-to-consumer advertising on TV. I recently watched the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, and at every single break, there was another pharma ad for some other drug. I don't think we should allow that. I think it influences the television news media. You know, the reason why vaccine and pharma advertises on CBS, NBC, ABC, et cetera, is not to drive consumer demand. Nobody's going to watch a Sky Reezy commercial and go, oh, I want that doctor. Give me that drug. The reason why they do that is it influences the news desk. There's so much money from sponsorship of television that they don't want their news desk to be publishing articles and to have commentary that is anti-pharma, anti-vaccine, because they don't want to cut off that gravy train of money from these various companies. The pharmaceutical lobby is by far the largest lobby in Washington, D.C. There are more pharma lobbyists in Washington, D.C. than there are combined senators and congressmen. And there is twice as many pharma lobbyists as the next largest lobbyists, and that's the oil industry and tobacco and so forth. So I think we just need to be aware of that. We need to look at who's paying our politicians, what money are they taking and from whom, and then make our own decisions about our own health and the biologic agents like vaccines that we're going to put into our bodies and the bodies of our children.
So if you could go back in time, and you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to, if you could go back in
not a single drop of poison, Kate.
None. Got it.
If I had little children right now, I would not put a drop of that poison in their body. Even if that meant I needed to leave California to do so or homeschool my kids, I would either homeschool them. If I wasn't able to homeschool them, I would move out of California to a state that allows exemptions. I would not put a drop of that poison in their body. I think the net is they are more harmful than they are helpful in almost every situation.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I have so many moms that reach out to me and say, I'm in California, I'm in New York, I have to give them, should I space it? And I'm just like, and I hope people take this the right way, but I would do everything in my power to, I would move out of state. Like, it would just be no question. I would do everything that I could.
Do either of you, Pete or Jordan, have children?
We do, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had my son in college when I was super young, naive, didn't know anything. But I remember in pregnancy when they were trying to get me to get the flu vaccine. And I think there's one or two other ones. And I remember saying, like, but how will we know if this is going to negatively affect a growing baby in my body? And the nurse was just like, well, everyone gets them. And I was like, well, I'm going to decline. It doesn't feel good. But when my son was born, they like coursed me into doing the newborn ones, and he actually had brain swelling. And that's kind of when I went down the whole rabbit hole. Everybody thought I was like the craziest anti-vax person in the world, but I just knew in my heart, like, I can't do these shots anymore.
For sure.
And it's just so wild because, like, I think I'm like known in my town to be like the crazy anti-vax girl, and like people who I know in the medical field, like, look at me and they're just like, yeah, you're an idiot. And I'm just like,
yeah, well, your perspective is growing. My perspective is growing. People think I'm an idiot on Instagram. I not uncommonly get messages that that the medical board should take my license away, that I'm a quack, mm-hmm. that all I'm trying to do is profit on whatever. And that's fine. That they never argue with the facts. They never argue mm-hmm. with the merits of my argument. They just attack me personally, saying I'm a grifter, I should mm-hmm. lose my license, et cetera. That's fine. There is a growing audience of people that believe what we believe. There is a hunger in our country and elsewhere for providers and practitioners that will not push vaccines, that will not push drugs, but will teach us how to master our own health and how to live a healthy lifestyle. It starts with what we put in our body. It starts with our ability to get outside and get sunshine and get in nature. It starts with an inner spiritual life, whatever your beliefs might be, and we should stop putting poison and toxins in our body. The chronic illness rate in the United States has never been higher. Something like 50% of our children have some sort of chronic illness. Mm-hmm. I live near Disneyland. I hate the place, but from time to time I go. And what I like about going to Disneyland is not the rides and this stupid Mickey stuff, but I like looking at people, and you just see it is just, I could take a beach chair and just sit it somewhere and people watch all day long. The level of unhealthiness is staggering. The people in those motorized wheelchairs that are morbidly obese with a big giant, soda in one hand and some sort of carb churro in the other hand, you just look at that and you shake your head. What have we done? What have we done to our country? And I hope that's reversing. I hope with RFKJ at the helm of Health and Human Services, I hope he can make inroads and lean us in the direction of something better. I'm optimistic, but I'm not, convinced that that will happen. And then I just look at my role is to try to help with that process, try to be a source of information for people that want to learn something different.
Isn't that wild? Like, we eat a steak for breakfast and we're the weirdos. But there's people who can't even walk through Disneyland. They have to ride through Disneyland.
Yeah, eating a steak for breakfast, good for you. Healthy meat, I think, is so important. And if you can tolerate it, healthy organ meat. Most people won't eat that because it's kind of disgusting. I won't, but I do take organ meat supplements. My favorite product, there's a company called Designs for Health. They make a product called Organ Synergy. It's liver, spleen, pancreas, kidney, and heart all in a supplement from New Zealand sourced healthy beef. I think it's one of the, it's like the whole food equivalent of a multivitamin. I take that every day.
Nice. I throw raw liver in my smoothies. You can't even taste it. You should try it.
Yeah, good for you. You're more crunchy than I am.
What are you telling the people who, a lot of people message me about polio, and it's either they're trying to say like, well, I'd rather take the shot than get polio. What do you have to say about polio? Are people who are unvaccinated from it going to get it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want anybody to get polio. We've sort of changed the definition of polio a little bit, and it looks a lot like Guillain-Barré, which is a side effect of many of the vaccines that were given. Polio was on its way out long before the vaccines came around. Polio was on its way out because we realized it was about hygiene and sanitation, and changing our hygiene and sanitation practices is what let polio go on the way out. And now we're seeing cases of polio that are popping up as a result of the live virus vaccine called polio. So I can only tell you personally, I would never put a polio vaccine in my body, but individuals need to make that decision after a lot of research. There's a whole expose on Children's Health Defense site all about the history of polio with graphs that show that polio was dramatically decreasing before the vaccine was introduced and the reasons for that. And then the sporadic outbursts of polio that we see now, there was, I think last year, there was an outbreak in New York where a few people ended up with polio, is traced back to polio that is spread and shed from the actual polio vaccine itself.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's insane. Nobody knows about this kind of stuff.
Is there any truth to when babies are getting vaccines as newborns and as up until one, are there immune systems even able to handle these shots, or like is it kind of useless when they're
a little bit of both? I think it's a crime that in the United States we force vitamin K and hepatitis B on newborns. I've posted on this multiple times. Vitamin K to try to prevent hemorrhagic disease of the newborn, which is a very rare condition, yet the American Pediatric Association recommends every newborn within 2 hours of birth receive vitamin K. Never mind that the vitamin K also has benzyl alcohol in it. And there's a warning in the package insert that said benzyl alcohol can cause all kinds of problems, including death. It also contains aluminum. And right in the package insert, it warns about the effects of aluminum. Vitamin K has the highest level of warning in a package insert called the black box warning. That's the highest level that the FDA requires short of pulling a product, a vaccine, or a drug from the market. So right at the top of the package insert, and please, if you're listening, don't believe me, just Google package insert black box vitamin K and you'll see it. And I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me, but it says something like intramuscular and intravenous use of vitamin K is associated with significant risk, including death. Yet the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends intramuscular use of vitamin K in every newborn, about 3.6 million newborns per year in the United States, that every newborn within 2 hours of birth get this product. I think that's a huge mistake. Parents don't know about it. They're not given informed consent. They don't know that there's a black box warning. They don't know that there's benzyl alcohol and formaldehyde and aluminum in this product. Same thing with hepatitis B, be like boy. It's recommended in our hospitals that within a couple days of birth that all newborns get hepatitis B. It's a sexually transmitted disease. That baby is not going to be subject to that for many, many years. And all women during pregnancy are routinely tested to see if they have hepatitis B. Now, it's one thing if there's like a street worker that comes in the ninth month in labor. I get that. So it needs to be individualized, but we should not be routinely giving every newborn vitamin K and hepatitis B. I think that's a huge mistake. But you're right, Kate, babies' immune systems are not ready for the insult that we give them. A healthy baby who is breastfed is supported by their mother's immune system. But in the hospital, hey, I'll take your baby into the newborn nursery. I'll give them Similac or Infamil formula. We need you to just rest and recover. That's nonsense. The baby shouldn't be separated from their mother, short of emergency. The mom should be encouraged to breastfeed. We should never be giving these babies these types of formulas that have seed oils and artificial ingredients in it. I mean, I know my daughter had to supplement her breastfeeding. She did a do-it-yourself recipe. She used raw milk with other ingredients to make her own formula. She would never give her baby commercial Similac. But there's profit involved, and these newborn nurseries are given free supplements to give out to the moms. You know, they want them. They're like heroin addicts. You know, the first one is free, and then you're hooked, and you have to keep buying them. This is a huge mistake. We need to educate moms to do something different. My daughter actually had a home birth. I'm a huge fan of it. You know, are there risks? Of course, but I think there's risks of being in a hospital as well.
Well, I think your daughter and I would be best friends. I also had a home birth, but...
Yeah, follow her. Allie's Fashion Allie. Reach out or DM her. She's got a whole group of crunchy moms that she exchanges recipes and ideas and so forth with.
We should have her on. That would be a fun conversation,
well,
too.
Yeah, you should, actually. I don't know if she would come on. She's a little bit shy. She's a bit of a introvert, but yeah, maybe she would come on. That would be fun. I'll have to connect her with you.
Would be fun. All right. Well, thank you so much. This was a great conversation. I know moms are going to... and parents are going to take a lot away from this. Can you just give maybe some parting words to moms who are like, you know, trying to make up their mind, or like maybe some book recommendations, or just how to maybe have some courage when speaking to their doctors?
Oh, for sure. And by the way, I published a book not long ago called Unavoidably Unsafe: Childhood Vaccines Reconsidered. It's on Amazon. I've got a new book coming out next month, the same title, but only about adult vaccines. So that's one resource guide. We wrote it really to be a resource to moms and grandma and grandpa and anybody who wants to know about the childhood vaccine schedule. You've got to have courage. Your job as a mom is, most importantly, is to protect your kid, even if that means saying no to the medical community that mostly doesn't know what they're talking about. And so join a group of crunchy moms so you can share, you have camaraderie, you can build each other up, you can share medical resources like who's the pediatrician in the community that doesn't push vaccines, that allows you to do things that are different. You got to find people like that and stop patronizing the traditional medical community that pushes chronic illness.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and taking the time. I know, I'm sure you're busy and have some beach to enjoy down there, but we appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate and Jordan. I appreciate you having me on, and perhaps we can do it again in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes on, in, and around their families. We'll be back next week with another conversation, but until then, trust your instincts, question to everything, and stay unbothered.